Hey, want a brand new breakfast idea? Then get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Yes, indeed. Try the brand new cereal assortment with 10 individual packages in all. 4 Wheaties, 4 Cheerios, 2 Kix. All top favorites and all extra fresh. Yes, it's fun to take your pick from Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. Get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Get that tray today.
And now the Betty Crocker cereal tray presents... The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in the thrilling adventure of Perfect Alibi. Fun doubled and tripled. That's the kind of eating fun you get in the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Yep, three-way breakfast fun. Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. All three in 10 separate individual-sized packages, all in one handy carton. That's the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Each morning you open a fresh package. Wheaties, Cheerios, or Kix. Try it. Get the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Miss Case, secretary to Britt Reid, had requested and received a chance to cover an occasional story as a reporter. While she was on an assignment, Michael Axford took advantage of her absence to experiment with her typewriter.
Now, let's see. How was it Casey made an exclamation mark? Now, she used a period. Now, there's a gadget somewhere that goes above the period. If I...
Michael!
Oh, golly, Casey.
I've told you to stay away from that typewriter.
By golly, Casey, I know what's put you in a mood like this. You didn't get no farther at the city hall than I did.
Michael, I know there's a shortage in the controller's office. I got it straight from Madge Hartman.
Well, she should know, being as she works there.
She does know.
You got the story written?
Yes, but Mr. Reid won't touch it until he hears from Mr. Tierney.
You know, Casey... Sometimes I think Reid is overcautious.
Well, it's not for me to say. But I certainly wish we'd hear from Tierney.
Oh, golly, look.
Mr. Tierney.
Yes, my name is Tierney. I came to see Britt Reid.
Well, Mr. Tierney, if you'll wait just a moment.
Reid, I want to talk to you.
Well, Tierney, I can't say this is a surprise.
You sent me a letter and an article ready for publication in the Daily Sentinel.
That's right.
That article tells about a $50,000 shortage in the controller's office. You intimate that I'm guilty of embezzlement.
It wasn't put in just that way.
The meaning is clear enough.
As controller, Tierney, you're responsible for anything that goes on in your office.
You dare publish an article like this, and I'll sue you for every cent you've got. Your paper's been against me from the start.
It's the policy of the Daily Sentinel to give a man in your position a chance to speak. You wouldn't see my reporter, so I had to reach you through the mail. You've read that story. What do you say about it? Are the facts straight or not?
What's the source of your information?
You know better than to ask that, Tierney.
Reid, if you publish this, you have only one purpose in mind. You're trying to discredit me. It's a cheap political move.
Tierney, isn't it possible there's a shortage that you don't know about?
No.
Maybe one of your assistants has been putting something over on you.
They couldn't.
You have an assistant named Savage and a woman named Hartman. Also a man named Barton.
I reiterate, there's no shortage. If you dare intimate that there is, I'll make more trouble than you can handle.
That's a challenge, Tierney.
Yes, Mr. Reid?
Miss Case, call the desk and tell Gunnigan to release the Tierney story for the next edition.
Yes, sir.
That's it, Tierney. Now, let me tell you something. The Daily Sentinel has been opposed to you because you're stubborn to the point of being bullheaded. You'll listen to neither counsel nor advice. You think no one has a right to an opinion but yourself. Your attitude in this office is typical of the things that made this paper consider you unsuitable for public office.
You'll hear from me, Reed. You'll hear from my lawyers. You can't intimate that I'm an embezzler.
The Sentinel hits the streets at 5 o'clock, Tierney. And you know what story it'll carry.
Tierney returned to his office and spent several hours examining records and accounts. The afternoon was well advanced when he called for his assistance.
You sent for me, Mr. Tierney?
Yes, I did, Savage. Where's Barton?
He's coming.
How about Miss Hartman?
She's left for the day.
Yeah.
Is something wrong, Mr. Tierney?
Yes, there is, definitely. Well, come in, Barton. Don't stand outside the door gaping.
Yes, Mr. Tierney.
Close the door.
What's wrong, boss?
When I left here this morning, I went to the office of Britt Reed, publisher of the Daily Sentinel, because he had threatened to publish a story about a shortage in the funds for which we are responsible.
The Sentinel has always been opposed to you, Mr. Tierney.
I thought his move was political. But nevertheless, I came back here and began checking into things.
You mean the accounts?
Precisely. The Sentinel will be on the streets in a few minutes. But Breed Reed needn't laugh because I've stolen his thunder.
What do you mean, Mr. Tierney?
I've called the Clarion and issued a statement to the effect that there's a shortage in department funds.
There is?
There's a shortage of many thousands of dollars. And someone in this office is responsible. It's either you, Savage, you, Barton, or Madge Hartman.
Pittsburgh Shortage and Controller's Office.
Yeah,
hey, yes, sir. Investigation demanded.
Hey, yes, sir.
Read all about it. Central X Street, Pittsburgh.
By golly, Reed, there it is. Casey's story right on the front page. Oh, here's Casey now.
Fine thing.
Oh, what's the matter, Miss Case?
Mr. Reed, look at this.
Hey, that's the Clarion.
Yes, it's the Clarion. And, oh, brother, how we've been scooped. Tierney certainly moved fast after he left your office, Mr. Reed.
What's that headline? Shortage discovered by controller.
Well, we carry a story suggesting that there's been a shortage at the controller's office. The Clarion hits the streets with a direct statement by Tierney.
Let me see that.
Tierney says he discovered the shortage today, and he promises a complete investigation to fix the responsibility and locate the missing fund.
Four people were in a position to juggle the books in that department.
You can exclude Madge Hartman. I'll vouch for her honesty.
That leaves Tierney and his two assistants, Savage and Barton.
Now, Miss Case, I was just about to leave. I'm going to Rodrigo's restaurant for dinner, but I'll stop back here later.
Yes, sir.
Call your friend Miss Hartman. See if you can get a follow-up on our story.
All right, Mr. Reed. If Madge has anything to offer, I'll write it up and leave it on your desk.
Fine. And if it's important, you might call me at Rodrigo's. I'll see you later.
Will there be anything else, Mr. Reed?
Yes, I'd like another cup of Rodrigo's coffee.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Please pardon this intrusion, but aren't you Britt Reed?
Why, yes.
My name is Madge Hartman. Your secretary is one of my best friends.
Oh, Miss Hartman. Won't you sit down?
Thanks. I telephoned Lenore a little while ago. She told me you were here. Mr. Reed, I've got to talk to you.
Well, you seem to be doing all right.
It's about that shortage in the controller's office. Now,
the Clarion seems to have made out better than we did.
Well, what I'm going to tell you will be a scoop on the Clarion and everyone else. Mr. Reed, I'm going to be accused of juggling the books, which means that I'll be the one who is charged with the theft of $50,000.
You?
But I didn't steal the money, and I didn't falsify any accounts.
Who did?
Well, I can't prove it, but I know who did it. It was Mr. Barton.
How do you know?
Well, you'll understand if you'll examine his past record. He's been in prison for forging checks. He's been arrested and tried for other crimes. Mr. Reed, the man's a crook. He copied my handwriting perfectly and making false entries. Well, the chances are he'll see to it that letters are found with my signature.
When did you discover this?
This afternoon.
Did you speak to Mr. Tierney?
Oh, he wouldn't see me. Perhaps he's angry and learned that I talked to Miss Case. I've tried half a dozen times, but I couldn't get to him.
Well, the district attorney would be interested in what you have to say.
Well, I thought of going to the district attorney or to the police. Then I thought I'd call Lenore first, and, well, she suggested I see you.
Well, the DA's office is probably closed for the day. But Miss Hartman, if you'll be at my office at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll go with you, and don't worry about Barton. He won't get away with framing you.
Well, it's not that, Mr. Reed. Barton is dangerous. He's a killer. Well, you see, I live in an isolated little farmhouse about 3 miles beyond the city line. It's all we could rent, Mother and I, and I've lived there alone since Mother died 6 months ago. No one would see Barton if he came to the house after dark.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you stay in the city tonight? Stay with Miss Case.
Well, she suggested that. Well, I think I'll take her up on it. But I'll have to go home and get some things.
If you want me to drive you...
No, I have my car right out front.
But if you're afraid of Barton...
Well, it won't be dark for another hour. I'll run home and come right back. I guess Lenore is going to work for a while tonight.
Yes, she planned to. I'm going back to the office myself. I'll dig into the morgue and see what I can find out about Barton. And in the morning, we'll discuss his case with the law.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Reed. I'll call Lenore as soon as I get into her apartment.
Can you get in?
Yes. She said she'd call the desk clerk and tell him to let me in.
It was about half an hour later when Madge Hartman reached her home on a small farm. She left her car and approached the front door without the slightest suspicion of the trap that had been set.
Mr. Reed is everything that Lenore said he was. With him on my side, I shan't worry about a thing.
No one heard the shot, and there was no one near to notice the lifeless body of the girl lying in the doorway of her home. We'll continue our story in just a moment. Say, boys and girls, if you've got a toy train, here's something you need to go with that train. It's the Model City that comes on the Betty Crocker cereal tray, complete with cutout houses, stores, and other buildings. Just about everything you'd find in a real city. Just think of the fun you can have making your train stop right in the city. And if you get several Betty Crocker cereal trays, you'll have enough houses, stores, and other equipment to make 2 Model Cities. Then you can play like you pick up passengers on your train in one city and take them to the other. Besides the buildings which come on the Betty Crocker cereal tray, you'll also get cutouts of autos, fences, garages, and a lot more things. Everything complete, even storage sheds in back of buildings and awnings in front. Easy to build, too. There's no pasting or gluing needed, and many slots are pre-cut. Best of all, different houses and stores come on different Betty Crocker cereal trays. So ask your mom to get a Betty Crocker cereal tray or two from her grocer. Tell her there's a valuable silverware coupon on the carton for her. And tell her you'll get all 3 of those top favorite nourishing cereals, Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix, right in the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Now to continue our story. It was nearly 11 o'clock. Britt Reed and Lenore Case had worked all evening in the office of the Sentinel, but there had been no phone call from Madge Hartman. So Britt sent Axford and Miss Case out to the girl's home to investigate. As soon as Miss Case had left the office, Britt called his apartment and talked to Cato, his faithful Filipino valet.
I'm not sure, Cato, but something may have happened. Bring the mask and weapon and the Black Beauty as rapidly as possible. I'll be waiting at the southeast corner of the Sentinel building.
Madge lives in the next house on the right, Michael.
Hey, looks like she had company. There's a car just pulling out of the driveway.
That's strange. It's turning the other way. I wonder who it is.
It's too dark to make out the kind of car.
Drive right up beside the house.
I am. I stopped in to speak to Madge for a minute.
I'll ask her to make some coffee. She must be home. The lights are on.
I'd like to ask her a few things about Barton. I've been all evening trying to get an interview with that guy. but they told me he's at his summer home in Millvale. I'd like to know why he went to Millvale this evening.
Well, what did his housekeeper tell you?
She said he was on some town improvement committee that was meeting in Millvale tonight.
Well, that should answer your question.
Maybe, but by golly, it sounds phony. Maybe he knew I'd be looking for him to ask questions and wanted to be unavailable.
Oh, don't flatter yourself. Did you ring the doorbell?
Yeah. I tell you one thing, Casey. Barton don't maintain a summer home in Millvale on a salary in the controller's office. Not by a jugful.
I wonder why Madge doesn't answer.
Yeah, the door's unlocked.
She's careless that way.
Well, most country people leave the door unlocked.
Madge, I'm here. Where are you?
Casey, look. They're on the floor.
Oh. Madge.
And a gun beside her. Suffering snake. She's been shot.
Michael, see if... if she's dead.
Now be careful, Casey. Don't touch nothing. Don't touch that gun.
It looks like her own gun. The one she bought when she moved out here.
Oh, golly. I guess she's dead, all right. Oh. It's been so for some time. You can see her watch was busted by the fall. It stopped at 7 o'clock.
If she was killed around 7, Barton couldn't have done it. That is, if he was in Millvale at that time.
And that's where he was.
Michael, he could be back by this time. Might have been Barton we saw driving away.
Now, wait a minute, Casey. Look, here on the table.
Oh, what? It's money.
Don't touch it. Just look at it. And look at this note on top of it.
Madge's handwriting.
It's signed by her, too.
I should have known I couldn't get away with it. I've gambled away all but a few thousand dollars. Here is the money that was left. Oh, no. No, Michael, that's not true. Madge Hartman didn't steal that money, and she didn't kill herself. It's murder, Michael. I know it's murder, and Barton is guilty.
If he's got the alibi he thinks he has, they'll never pin it on him.
But they'll call it suicide.
Nevertheless, Casey, we've got to call the cops. Now, don't you touch nothing. I'll do the telephone.
Michael, Michael, oh, that crook Barton. If he gets away with murder...
Hello, operator. I want to talk to police headquarters. Yeah, Burke, that's the whole story. Me and Miss Case will wait here till you come with the boys from the homicide squad.
Michael, if we could only destroy this note...
No, no, Casey. You can't tamper with evidence at the scene of a crime.
Michael. Michael, look.
Huh?
His mask.
Oh, suffering snakes. The green hand. Oh, you sparky.
I hated to do that. Come in, kiddo. Both Lenore and Axford are unconscious.
What do we do?
Look over this room while I call Police Commissioner Higgins. I'll use his private number. Hello, Commissioner. Reed talking. Yeah, I'm fine, but that's unimportant. Listen to me. Axford has just talked to Sergeant Burke to report a murder that's rigged to look like a suicide. Don't be surprised at developments. The Green Hornet's going to step in. Now, Cato, we've got to work fast.
Oh, gun was fired close. There are powder burns on dress.
Yes, Cato, but if Madge had shot herself, she'd have had to hold the gun at arm's length, pointed at her heart, and pressed the trigger with her thumb. That's unlikely. This is murder.
But how could Barton have done it?
Easily. He could have braced the gun pointing at the door with a string rigged to pull the trigger when the door was opened. Then he could have gone to Millvale to establish his alibi. He could have returned to rearrange the scene to look like suicide.
Well, what we do?
We'll smash that alibi to smithereens. We're going to take Madge out of here. Help me put her in the car. Then we'll come back and finish straightening the room.
Well, what about note and gun?
I'll take care of them and also the cash. Come on now, we've got to work fast. Burke and the police will soon be here. That does it, Cato. I'll drive the Black Beauty and you take Miss Hartman's car. We're going to Millvale.
I start now?
Yes. You go ahead. I'll pass you on the road and then I'll lead the way. When you leave the car, be sure you wipe off any fingerprints you might have left.
Oh, I leave none, Mr. Britt. I wear gloves.
Okay. Get going. Poor Madge. Ah, the police. getting out of here in time.
Cassie, wake up.
I'm all right, Michael. What happened?
Plenty. The Green Harlot was here. I just a minute ago came too. Now, let me help you to your feet. I think the cops have just drawn up outside.
Oh. Ashford, what's all they saying?
Burke, you should have got here sooner. The Green Harlot came here. He gassed me and Cassie.
Got here sooner? Great day, Ashford. It's only a few minutes since they got your call. Where's the dead girl?
Suffering snakes.
She's gone.
Hey, what are you two handing me?
The gun's gone, too.
And so is the suicide note.
And the cash.
Now, see here. If you two have been giving me and the homicide squad the runaround...
Runaround me, I don't talk like a junkhead. The girl lay right over there on the floor.
And her car was in the driveway, just ahead of Michael.
Her car's not there, no. The only car we saw was Axford's jalopy.
Hey, Burke, maybe one of those two cars we saw driving away belonged to the girl.
You saw two cars driving away?
Yeah. I had half a mind to follow him.
One of them must have been Madge Hartman's car.
Yeah, maybe she wasn't dead at all.
Now, see here,
we'll
I tell you...
We'll report to headquarters and have a radio call put out for the Hartman car.
I can describe the car.
Burke, if you'd only stop them cars. By golly, I'll bet one of them was the Green Harlot.
The Green Hornet set the pace and led the way to the town of Millvale and the lakeside summer home of the assistant controller. Meanwhile, Axford and Miss Case returned to police headquarters with Sergeant Burke and the homicide squad. A few minutes later, the police radio carried an announcement for cars of the city police and the highway patrol.
Look out for a 1941 model Chevrolet sedan, color black, license number 6419. Hold car and driver and communicate with headquarters. Code number 42, calling all cars.
The commissioner of police heard the announcement on his radio at home and smiled knowingly because he had been told the plans of the Green Hornet. The following morning, in the office of the controller...
Savage, Barton, have either of you seen anything of this Hartman?
Not since yesterday afternoon, Mr. Tierney.
I've happened on a couple of interesting entries, Mr. Tierney.
Just a minute, Barton. Looks like a delegation.
Good morning, Mr. Tierney.
Reed, what are you doing here?
I think you know Miss Case and Michael Axford. We came with Sergeant Burke and Inspector Moran of the homicide squad.
Homicide?
Mr. Turney, there was a girl named Hartman who worked in this office.
Yes?
She's been found dead.
Dead?
Great Scott.
Was there any reason to believe that it might have been a suicide?
Why do you ask that, Mr. Barton?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Mr. Turney, I'll have to ask a couple of questions. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
Now, this isn't official, understand, but might be a good idea for you three gentlemen to think back to last evening, in case you have to furnish an alibi.
The medical examiner fixes the time of death as somewhere around 8 o'clock.
I went to the theater last night. Might be hard to prove it.
I'm in much the same situation. I was home alone from 6 o'clock until after 9 when my family came in.
I guess I'm just plain lucky.
How's that, Mr. Barton?
It just happens that I was out of the city last evening.
You were?
Yes. You see, I have a summer place at Millvale. That's about an hour and 15 minutes from here by car. And last evening, a number of the townsmen met with me for dinner. I was with them in Millvale from 7 o'clock until nearly 11. We were discussing a new diving platform which we plan to construct in the spring. Rather a perfect alibi. Lucky, wasn't it?
Where was this meeting?
In my home. I opened the house for it. Why do you ask?
I suppose you have proof that you were in that house from 7 until, let's say, 10?
Of course.
You didn't leave the house at all during that time?
Well, I went to get wood for the fireplace. Went to the garage a couple of times. But see here, why do you ask?
Barton, I guess you're the man we want.
What?
The Hartman girl was found shot through the heart. The body was in her own car, which was parked in back of your home in Millvale.
No, no!
Her car was found early this morning by the state police.
It's not true. It's a lie. She was shot in her own home. Someone moved the body.
But, Barton, the police found $5,000 in cash and the murder gun in your garage.
That was moved, too. The cash and gun were in the girl's home.
How do you know?
I...
You gave yourself away, Barton.
No, no! Wait, listen to me!
The body, the cash, and the gun were found at your place. By your own testimony, you were at the scene at the time of the murder.
But I...
Madge told about you. How you forged her writing to juggle account books. You tried to frame her, then you killed her so she couldn't expose you. The police have the motive, the money, the corpse, and you have no alibi.
I didn't...
Barton!
Did you kill Madge Hutton?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did.
I've finished reading your Barton story, Miss Case. It's well done.
Poor Madge. Well, at least her murderer will pay in full.
Barton certainly broke down all the way.
He was trapped no matter what he said. He told everything at police headquarters. He told how he'd rigged a gun to kill Madge when she went home. How he established an alibi in Millvale, and then came back to set the suicide scene. And Mr. Reed, he'd have gotten away with it if someone hadn't moved the body in Madge's car to Millvale.
Axford mentioned the Green Hornet.
I guess he had a hand in it.
If the police find him, they'll probably jail him for tampering with evidence.
I've been thinking a lot about the Hornet. I'd sure like to know that guy. I think he's all right.
Like riddles? Well, see if you can fool your friends with this one. Just ask them, what tray favorites come in a favorite tray? And here's the answer. It's Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix in the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Get it? You see, tray, T-R-E-Y, means three. And that's where the three breakfast favorites, Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix, come in. But when you spell tray, T-R-A-Y, it means something used to carry food, like the popular Betty Crocker cereal tray. Try this riddle out on your friends and have some fun. Just ask them what tray favorites come in a favorite tray. And say, you can have a lot of eating fun by taking your choice of swell-tasting Cheerios, Kix, or Wheaties from the Betty Crocker cereal tray at breakfast. Each morning you can choose a different cereal because you get 10 separate individual-sized packages of these three top favorite cereals, all in the Betty Crocker cereal tray. So ask your mom to get the Betty Crocker cereal tray from her grocer's tomorrow and take your pick of Wheaties, Cheerios, or Kix. You've been listening to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the cereal assortment of individual packages of Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. Listen. How far have you walked today? How far is it from your house to school? How many miles do you travel on your favorite Saturday hike? Would you like to know? Then be sure to listen for the super, super special offer coming soon on this program. Offer starts January 27th, brought to you by Cheerios, that energizing breakfast cereal made from oats. Good old-fashioned, nourishing oats, all ready to eat. Remember, super special Cheerios offer starting Tuesday, January 27th. Be with us again next week at the same time when General Mills will again present The Green Hornet. This copyrighted feature originates in Detroit, and all characters, places, and incidents used are fictitious. Al Neal speaking. Tomorrow night at the same time, over most of these same stations, an intriguing mystery of the Old West is brought to a thrilling climax in another of the famous Lone Ranger stories. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.